Well, it's been a blessing again to be in the Gospel of Luke. I just love Luke's Gospel. It is unique to the other Gospels. I guess they're all unique in a sense. But Luke has an emphasis in his presentation of the life of Jesus that we don't find in so much emphasized in the other Gospels. Now, we need to reflect on who Luke is. Luke is a doctor. So he's someone well-trained, someone well-educated, someone who was caring for people as a physician. He was also a man who loved history, and he's regarded as the historian of the New Testament. He's the one who does the research to find out all that he can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Luke is the one that takes us back even before Jesus is born in his gospel, to the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he found out that they hadn't had any children. And all these little details are because Luke's interest is to record details for us so that we get the whole picture and we grasp truly the sense of the meaning and purpose of the things that he is writing about. Luke is concerned to present the Lord Jesus in the fullness of his character. A comprehensive picture is what he undertakes to do in the writing of his gospel. Now, of course, he was a companion of the Apostle Paul. He travelled with him and shared in the many challenges of Paul's ministry. And Paul had many challenges. He faced suffering and shipwrecks and troubles. He faced opposition. And Luke understood what it was to live as a follower of Jesus in this world. It was to live a different life. And that life was modelled on the Lord Jesus Christ and his life. So Luke is the one who captures for us, in essence, the fullness of who Jesus really is and how he lived and what he taught about his kingdom. In particular, Luke highlights the emphasis of Jesus' teaching about people in this world who have few resources. We call them the poor. And Luke is the one who says, unlike Matthew, who says, blessed are the poor in spirit, Luke says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who have few resources. As I shared in the children's message, I discovered an extraordinary truth about this in a refugee camp in Ethiopia. But Luke also discovered this as he travelled with Paul in his missionary journey. And Paul, of course, shared with him. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And in the story that we have today from Luke chapter 14, Jesus is visiting the house of a Pharisee. He's been invited there for a meal on the Sabbath day. Now, I think it's important to understand, as I think I've mentioned before, Jesus does not reject the Pharisees. Jesus does not dismiss them. He recognizes their need to change the way they think about God. And as he goes into these places and has a meal here, he's wanting to impart truth to the people who are there in this house to set them free from their wrong thinking. Of course, Paul, who Luke travelled with, was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So Paul understood completely the Pharisees. He knew exactly their motivations and their intentions. And we read later in Luke's Gospel in chapter 16, in verse 14, Luke tells us this: the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed Jesus. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard this and they sneered at Jesus. You know? And Paul was one of the Pharisees before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus goes into this house in chapter 14. Now remember, who is this Jesus? Let's just reflect again on last week where Jesus was encouraging the people to take the lowest place. Who is this Jesus? Let's just look and see. This Jesus took the lowest place. From heaven he came, born of peasant parents in a stable in Bethlehem. His family did not have resources enough to find a house to dwell in and for him to be born. He was born in the humblest of situations. And then as he grew up, what did he do? He went out in ministry and he served people. Even to the point of washing the feet of his disciples before the Last Supper, the lowest of the lowest tasks of a humble servant. Jesus was the example he is trying to impart in these stories in Luke of taking the lowest place. And then constantly we find Jesus interceding, praying for his disciples. All night he was on the mountain in prayer. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane in prayer, pouring his heart out to God. We see him taking the low place before the King of Heaven. And then, of course, as he nears his crucifixion, we see him carrying the cross, living out a life of humble service. Even as a criminal, he is regarded. And finally, of course, taking the lowest of the low places, a Roman cross outside the city of Jerusalem. He is crucified. This was a shocking and humbling and lowest of low places to be. And Jesus set the example of taking the lowest place. And here he is in the house of a Pharisee who, as he is described in Luke's gospel, lovers of money, lovers of things of this world, lovers of position, lovers of influence and power. And he's gone to have a meal with this Pharisee, not to condemn him, not to accuse him, but to try and lead him out of his bondage. Remember, Luke is the gospel writer who records, as I shared in the children's message, the only gospel writer who records Jesus' story about a rich man, a man who loved money, who loved the comforts of this world, who loved the things of this world, and Lazarus, a poor man. Jesus told that story, and Luke records it. The poor man, Lazarus, dies. And Jesus says, the angels of heaven come and take this man in from the lowest of the low places. The angels come and grab him up and carry him into the bosom of Abraham, right into the heart of heaven. The rich man who has enjoyed all the pleasures of this world, the comforts of this world, dies. And in torment, Jesus says, he's in torment. He asks, oh, Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the to cool my tongue. The rich man is in torment. He has not thought to pursue the things that please God. And what are the things that please God? Well, you know, in our service today, we had a psalm of David, a psalm of that king of Israel. Yes, he had a high place in a sense. He was the king. But what does David tell us in Psalm 41? This is the writing God has for us in the Old Testament. Verse 1 says, blessed is the one who considers the poor. Or the NIV says the weak. The ESV says the poor. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. Because God's heart is towards the poor. There it was towards Lazarus as the angels came and wrapped him up in their arms and carried him into heaven. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. Do you know, dear friends, we are living in a sin-sick land here in Australia. Many people are focusing on the sexual immorality as the major corruption of human life. But I don't believe that is the case. there is a greater corruption. There is a root of evil that produces all this. And the Bible tells us what it is. Paul the Pharisee writes to his understudy Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." The most serious trouble we are in this land is the love of money. It has been a root. It's a root that's causing so much corruption. Our focus is so orientated towards this, like the Pharisees, seeking position, seeking reputation, seeking fame. I remember my dear friend Ian Brown, who was a minister down at Somerville. He'd had a serious heart operation in Monash Medical Center, coming out of his anaesthetic, out of his intensive care. And he said to me, "Michael, everybody's trying to be famous." But you see, God, Jesus, in the house of this Pharisee, is wanting to redirect his attention to the things that please God, the things that delight the heart of God. And here in the Old Testament, blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. And let's read on. The Lord protects this one, keeps him alive. He's called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. Look at that. We could actually be sick, and the problem may not be the sickness itself. It may be that we haven't given time and our heart to consider those who are poor and weak. This is the most wonderful health insurance policy, Psalm 41. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. Blessed is the one who takes the lower place. Jesus is trying desperately to redirect the thinking of this house where people are jostling for position. He tells them, no, take the lower place, for everyone who humbles themselves will be exalted. And everyone who lifts themselves up shall be brought down. The rich man was brought down and Lazarus was brought up. And now Jesus is going to talk further. I entitled the message for this morning, "The Lowest Place, the Sequel." This is the second part, you see, because in verse 12, which we had read to us today, Jesus goes on. He's considered this house with all these people seeking wealth and money and position and worldly things. Told them to take the lowest place. And then he says this. Now, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Now, is Jesus really saying, never invite your friends to have dinner with you? Never invite your neighbors? Never invite your relatives? No, he's trying to address the focus of attention of these people. They are so possessed with seeking to gain benefit from inviting people to their homes that they also might gain more benefit themselves. Jesus is trying to say, invite people that can't repay you. It'll break your attention on the things of this world. You see, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid with earthly things. But Jesus wants us repaid with heavenly things. Do you know, honestly, I have to say to all of you who are engaging in this service, a lady in the hills, one day when I met her walking on a track, she asked me a question, "Where is the most significant place you've ever visited in the world?" And as quick as a flash, I said to her, "A refugee camp in Ethiopia, where a poor man gave me his blessing." That is the most significant engagement I have had so far in my life, in a short meeting with one person, a poor man who was in the position of Lazarus. Jesus goes on to say, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. You see, he's telling this company in the Pharisee's house, you're actually missing out on the blessing God is wanting to give you. All you're getting is the repayment of earthly things from earthly people. God is wanting to give you his blessing. That's what happened to me in a refugee camp in Ethiopia. God blessed me. And you will be blessed, says Jesus, because they cannot repay you. And not only will you be blessed in the encounter, in the engagement, as Psalm 41 points out, blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. Well, we're in a day of trouble at the moment, aren't we? Coronavirus. What is the answer in coronavirus? How will we be protected? Jesus is telling us. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He's called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. What an insurance policy. And then not only this blessing, but God in his son Jesus ends this passage by saying, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You will be so blessed in the day when the Lord returns. Do you remember the story? The story of the coming of the Son of Man, when he calls those who have responded to his teaching and his kingdom. What does he say to them? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was crippled, you came to me. And we will say, when was that, Lord? I didn't see you. No, when you did this to one of the least of these, you did it unto me. You will be repaid when he returns. Now, dear friends, do we go out and make fancy invitations to invite the poor and tell everybody out there that we're inviting them? Jesus made it very clear we're not to do that. When you give, let it be in secret. Let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. But remember, this is the focus of the teaching of the Lord Jesus, who, as we said, took the lowest place, but then those who humble themselves will be exalted. Here he stands resurrected, nail prints in his hands. And after his resurrection, his ascension to glory, where he sits at the right hand of the Father. And God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is no one who has lived on earth who has taken a lower place than this man. And he is now in the highest place, even the heavenly realms. And he said to us, follow me. Amen.